Do you have a favorite Rolling Stone song? Any you particularly like?
No.
If you start being up.
No.
If you start being up, you never stop.
Jeez. I'm sure Rick does.
Mr. General Manager, I know you're feeling really good with the way the week has gone and everything, but I'm trying to run the Vikings Entertainment Network camera. Might be a little out of your lane, sir.
Probably not.
How are you, Mr. Spielman?
Good.
Paul Allen, Ben Lieber, good to see you. Thanks for having us on the exclusive Brzezinski perch.
Beautiful V is with us again today.
Yes, V-Rod. Is there an exclusive Spielman perch? And if not, why?
No, it's a just try to be a simple man and
live
life simple.
Is life simple now? When you, I read something this morning where you were talking about the closure to the Adrian Peterson week that we've had, and you said that it was like kind of over. And I was thinking, like, what's kind of mean?
They kind of misinterpret what you say sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. No, we're very excited that everybody's excited moving forward, and we're on to football now.
Either chatting with you here or reading your quotes and stuff about anything, the man walking in front of us right now underneath the goalpost, the head coach, Mike Zimmer, I can just tell you really enjoy working with Mike, don't you?
Yeah, no, he's a not only a great football coach, but a great person, and I know we've really have a pretty good unique bond amongst us on how we're thinking and as we go through things.
Yeah.
You know, the timing of this thing couldn't have worked out better, I think, in everybody's estimation. Not only did he show up for OTAs, which a lot of people speculate he wasn't going to, but the fact that he did, that whole circus that happened the other day was able to take place in a very safe environment where it wasn't a big distraction. Is that huge for you guys that he came back and you guys were able to kind of diffuse everything, do it now as opposed to mini camp or even training camp?
No, like I said, Adrian wanted to come back. That was his decision to come back, wanted to be a part of this football team. We wanted to have everything done on Tuesday so we can go ahead and just move forward, and now we're all about football.
He's the best running back in the National Football League, so I know his inclusion impacts a lot of players on your offense and on your team. But just from where we see it now, Rick, early June, how does it immediately impact Cordarrelle Patterson and what his game will be like?
I think it impacts our offense in general. When you have a great running back, and I've been fortunate enough through my career to be around the Barry Sanders of the world and when Ricky Williams was rolling with us down to Miami. So we've had some Adrian Petersons, been very fortunate, and those guys just make the whole offense better. They make the offensive line better. They make the passing game better. They're just that unique of a player.
The defense, ball control, the whole thing.
Yeah, they make your football team better.
Yeah.
Well, I was around, with Brett in 09 and 10, and I can tell you just from a presence standpoint, he commanded this sort of attention, this presence, where I think everybody kind of straightened up around him, especially on offense. The huddle was running a little bit more effective. He just had this way about him. Do you feel the same thing about Adrian? Do you see a sense of these guys kind of like straightening up a little bit more, knowing that they've got a guy that's a future Hall of Famer in their huddle, and they got to do everything right to get this guy some yards?
Yeah, he brings that element to a football team, and everybody knows what he means to this football team, what he brings to us on the field. So I think everybody is honed in and focused, but to have a guy like an Adrian Peterson in your backfield to do what he does for us, I think it just raises and elevates everybody's game.
Rick, off years of watching as many games as you have, Vikings football games, critically from an all-22 standpoint, what generally happens when quarterbacks go play action to Adrian Peterson? Like safeties, linebackers, stuff like that? Like what does it look like?
Well, Adrian Peterson's always been I think most defenses, and I can't speak for defenses in the NFL, but I'm sure they have one of their main focuses is we have to keep Adrian Peterson, under control.
Yeah.
And so when you are doing play action and you're doing things to, it just opens up a lot of more things in the passing games, open up the offense a lot more.
How has he looked since he's been here? Everybody talked about he's still working his butt off down in Houston. Does he look like he's in shape, and has he missed a step out here?
No, just watching him for the first time he touched the ball on Tuesday, he looks like he's 24 years old. The way he's moving, the way he's running, he's kept himself in great shape. I know how important this game is to him, and he plays with a lot of passion, and just excited to see him get rolling. But from people, did he come in out of shape? Has he lost a step? You know, we're only in OTAs here, but just watching him athletically and physically move around, he hasn't lost a step.
Is he lighter? That. He looks a little more like leaner.
You know, Paul, they say that about you sometimes.
Wow, you said
in.
Paul. It's the first time you've said my name in the 10 years that I've known you.
I'm trying to keep it at a corporate level.
Okay. We're on a corporate perch.
No, I think he's around the same weight.
Okay, Rick.
And looks great.
No problem. Richard Spielman is our guest. He's general manager of the Minnesota Vikings.
Benjamin, yeah, how do you feel about
Benjamin Lieber. I'm Paul Allen. Benjamin, it's your turn to talk to the GM.
Well, you guys had the playground build yesterday, and I think it's probably a good litmus test for how the public, especially the kids, are going to view Adrian after this whole thing. What was the response from everybody yesterday when they saw Adrian?
You know, I wasn't in the room when he came, but, you know, it was tells you, you know, that he is, and I can't tell you, a very good person, has a great heart, and being around those kids and how he's interacted and all the great things he's done in this community. I think people have kind of forgotten that, but those kids, you know, from what I heard, and I wasn't in the room, were very excited to see him yesterday when he popped in that room.
Did you go to the Rolling Stones concert last night?
That's
right up your alley.
No, I did not. I was at the sectional lacrosse championship game last night.
Did we win?
We won.
Sweet. If you had not have had the lacrosse bit, would you have gone to see the Stones? And if so, do you have a favorite song?
No, I'm not a big concert goer. I'm not a big
go-out
guy. Yeah, no, I'm kind of a homebody.
Yeah. I thought you would have gone to maybe see, like, Beast of Burden because of all the burdens that with which you've had to deal the last X amount of months due to X amount of things.
No, I enjoy listening to them on the radio. They're an iconic group that's been around forever, and, you know, it's amazing at their age and how, you know, fit they are and what they can still go out there and put on a show like the show that they put on.
So you say that you don't like to go out that much. That just gives me the vision of you always sitting in your office or at home, like mixing formulas. Like you and Norv Turner sitting there mixing concoctions.
What, is he a witch?
Well, I don't know what he is, but he has to go out occasionally.
Yeah. Thank you, Benjamin, for that.
Rick Spielman's our guest. What do you think of Kyle Rudolph's tattoo?
Oh, I asked him if that washed off in the rain.
So
the
did
other
I.
Day. So
wait, I haven't seen it yet. I only heard about it.
It's arm length. Yeah. It's aggressive.
Well, he went full sleeve.
Yeah, I believe he did.
Full sleeve tattoo.
And
year.
It's not one that you get at like Valley Fair. I mean, it doesn't come.
Please
off.
Tell me it's not like flames or something.
No, I think it may pay homage or like it's dedicated to family members.
Okay,
and stuff
okay.
like that.
All right.
But just Kyle's so happy-go-lucky, good-natured and everything. I just seeing him with a tattoo, not that you can't be happy-go-lucky and have a tattoo.
He can put tattoos on his feet, on his forehead, wherever he wants, as long as he's out there catching a ball and helping us win the game.
Right.
That's what matters.
Let me ask you a weird question about an undrafted player that you brought in that I had a chance to meet here during the Top 30 dinner time. He's a safety from Virginia named Anthony Harris. And, you know, after I met him before the draft, I started to do a little research on him, and he's a slender-going kind of guy. But I was like, damn, he likes to mix it up. He can cover the pass pretty well. But he hasn't taken part in off-season festivities. What Anthony Harris, what do we need to know about him?
Anthony was coming off of shoulder surgery. The one thing last year, I know when you watched him on tape, he played with a knockdown shoulder through the whole season, so that tells you how tough he is.
Yeah, I saw that on tape.
He got that fixed. You know, didn't do much. He couldn't work out the combine, wasn't able to run or do anything during the process before the draft. But just the tape that we saw, again, looking at guys that have traits that fit the scheme.
Yep.
I know the year before he was very productive, had some ball-hawking skills from that free safety position. I think he ended up with 6 or 7 interceptions his junior year.
Yep.
So he just now got...
He had like 108 tackles last year or something.
Yeah, and you watch the Florida State game, and he was all over the field in the Florida State game, had 2 nice pass breakups, showed range from the sideline, doing all the things that we physically want to see. Now, we haven't got an opportunity to see him much out here yet. He just started an individual work. He'll get a little bit more as we go through the rest of the offseason and then look forward to having him down at training camp.
So if he doesn't have the knockdown, punch, cut, fade shoulder, then he probably gets drafted, right?
Well, I don't know that.
Okay.
But I know we felt very strongly about him, that we felt he was a very talented football player.
Right.
Well, they didn't really have much of a front seven. 108 tackles is a safety. That doesn't say very much.
I might be wrong. It might have been in the 90s.
Well, yeah. Still, that's a pretty high number. Who else, in that same breath, who else out here has shined to you young guy, old guy, savvy vet. Who else is kind of sparked out here?
Well, a couple guys that, again, I can't tell you, just watching through just those guys that we drafted last year and the steps they've taken this year. And I think we mentioned it last week a little bit, the David Yankees of the world, the Scott Crichtons of the world. It's just amazing how guys take that step from rookie year all the way up, you know, when they come back in their second year and they understand. So very excited about even, you know, Mike Wallace and everything he showed and how his skill set fits in this scheme. Teddy's had a great offseason with us. So we're very excited. We've had a couple of personnel meetings with our coaching staff, with our scouts and myself. And, it's early. We got a lot of work to do yet, but looking forward to getting down to Mankato to get ready for that opener in San Francisco.
When Robert Blanton was playing full-time special teams, was he – pretty/very good at what he did?
Excellent.
Yeah. And what I'm getting at here is let's say Blanton is penciled in as safety next to Smith. Let's say Antone Exum beats him out of the job fairly and squarely in training camp. Does that, in a weird way, like, help special teams? You know what I mean? Like people are talking about Matt Asiata right now. Had those 9 TDs for you last year. Got better as the year went on. Here's Adrian. McKinnon's probably third down back guy. Who knows? But Asiata's really good on special teams, so that helps there. Clemmings may start at right guard. Berger really good at facets of special teams. Helps there. Same thing with Exum Blanton. You follow me?
No.
Well, what I'm saying is if Exum beats Blanton out of the safety job and Robert goes full-time special teams, that helps that phase.
No, and what we try to do, and Coach Prefer is one of those coaches that loves to take on these young guys and develop them on special teams. And that's one of the reasons why we look at athletic traits, because if they're not going to start for you, they have to have some type of role. And if they have the speed and the athleticism to contribute on special teams, that's a big part of the game in winning ball games as well. So a lot of the guys that are young guys that are potential backups that may eventually be starters, those guys have to fill in on special teams, especially when we go in on a 46-man roster on game day.
Yeah.
And Prefer's done a great job with, and don't forget about Andrew Zendejo either,
yeah,
who stepped in and played. But whoever ends up being the starters, we feel very confident on a lot of the guys that we have that can go in, if there are injuries, can go in and start and not lose a beat. But also, if they're not starting, they're going to be able to contribute on special teams.
You know, staying on defense, where does Mike Zimmer value or weight the mental part of the game versus the physical? Because some of these guys, if you guys have drafted, are extremely athletic. Does that sometimes trump the mental, or does the mental always trump the physical?
No, I think it's the mental, too, because he wants smart guys. And I think you have to be smart to play in this league just because of how complicated the offenses are coming, the checks that are being made out there, all the different motions and the different types of offenses you're seeing in today's NFL. So smarts is definitely a point of emphasis, and when we go through this pre-draft process, part of our job as coaches and as scouts is not only evaluating the tape, evaluating, you know, what we do in the workouts and stuff, but also evaluating them mentally, putting things on the board, seeing how they respond, what is their football knowledge. And also, you know, coming in, a lot of rookies aren't going to have the extensive knowledge that they're going to need, but if they have the capability of learning and as they grow, that's one of the key traits that we're looking for.
Back to Adrian for a second. At his press conference, he said that this is the best coaching staff for which he has played. You know, and this is a team that's gone to the NFC title game, won the division a couple of times. What do you like most overall about this coaching staff, Rick?
I just believe that they are great developers of talent. And, you know, my brother said it. I asked him, you know, what you respected the most in a coach. And he always told me, if I knew that coach, regardless if I'm in kindergarten, if I'm at high school, if I'm in college, if I'm in the NFL, if I believe that coach is going to make me a better football player, I'll follow him to the nth degree. If he tells me to jump off a cliff and I believe in that guy, I'm going to jump off the cliff because I know it's going to make me better.
Yeah.
He said that if I see BS in a coach where he's not helping me or not making me a better football player, that I'm going to end up doing my own thing, trying to make myself a better player. But I think Coach Zimmer and his staff, all these players down here, believe that this staff makes them better football players. Would that be true, Ben? I mean, you've been...
Yeah, I think, yeah, you hit it right on the head. And if you, and just like Terrence Newman, when he talks about the role Mike Zimmer's had in his playing career, he said, I've always played the best ball with Mike Zimmer as my coach. And I think that is just a small snippet of what you're talking about, how if he can get Terrence to do that and he can get the other 10 guys to do that and he can get another 10 guys to do that and collectively then everybody gets better, it doesn't matter how he really coaches. It's just the fact that he can get the best out of you. That's what Bill Snyder did with me at Kansas State. I was a blank slate, and he was able through, I think, to do a lot of hard work and 3.5 hour padded practices. He got the best out of all of it.
They didn't have the 20-hour rule back then when you were.
Oh, they had it. They had it. It was one of those things like, what's this? This is their compliance sheet. Well, these aren't the hours that we put in. Just sign the damn paper. Okay. I wanted to ask you, we didn't get into it last week, and I'm just going to kind of jump into more of a macro conversation in the NFL.
Benjamin's just kidding, by the way, so they don't have the NCAA down
there. Well, we talked
today about
that earlier. Emmert's going to probably hear this and go back and try to bust Kansas State on something. But listen, every college does it. I want to get more macro with you. The whole Ray McDonald thing really sparked a big debate on whether or not teams should be held accountable for some of the players' actions if they've been in trouble before. Where's your stance on that? On that whole thought that you guys as an organization can be fined or get in trouble for these guys getting in trouble a second or third time?
That's why we try to do our due diligence on everybody, regardless if it's an unrestricted free agent, regardless if it's a player coming out in draft. We try to make the best decisions by the information that we gather. We have, our psychologists talk with them. We have our coaches interact with them. And you try to get to know him as people. And was it a mistake that he's going to grow from and not make again, or is there a continuous pattern to this? And those are hard decisions for any franchise, and you got to make those determinations. And you sit here and say, I hope I'm going to be right every time. But I think as long as you're doing your due diligence and you put everything into it you can to try to get the answer, to try to predict going forward what the future may look like, you try to do the best of your ability.
Last one. Anything new with Anthony Barr? Didn't ask you this last week. Bigger, faster, stronger?
Yeah, Anthony's. We've been holding him back a little bit just as he's recovering from the off-season knee surgery. But, we're very excited. He'll be working a little bit more next week and then into the final mini camp. And, just him coming in as a rookie last year and missing all of the OTAs just because he was one of those guys that were on a quarter system. We're excited to see him the second year in the system, and I know Coach Zimmer and that defensive staff have done a lot of tweaks to the scheme, and how can they utilize him even better.
Richard, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
Paul, thanks, Benjamin.
No problem. Vikings General Manager Rick Spielman. We'll be back to Vikings organized team activities on your home for Vikings football, The Fan, after this.